brings the message for the day. God bless you.
Hi. How you guys doing? Here I am. You found me. I'm here. Well, I'm so happy to be up here talking to you guys, and we had a great time at Jordan's wedding. I got the pleasure of being one of his groomsmen, and let me tell you what, we had a bachelor party the day before, and the entire bachelor party was us speaking words of God into Jordan's life. We got some awesome men of God in our church, let me tell you that. Instead of a bachelor party partying, we were speaking the prayers and life into Jordan, and we had a great time. So, real happy. Shout out to Jordan and Amber on their cruise. They said they'd be watching this. So, hi guys, I see you. Well, guys, my first time up here, I gave a message called How to Hear from God, where I gave detailed instructions, or how to hear the voice of God, I guess is the technical, and detailed instructions about how everyone in this room can hear from God. And I got a lot of good feedback from that. I'd say that's in the top two best messages I've ever given up here. I've only given two messages up here, but it's still saying something. So today I thought I'd do another how-to with an equally important subject. But before I tell you what that is, first I want to pose a question to you, a conundrum, if you will. If someone is seeking religion, why should they choose Christianity? Now, I don't think Christianity is a religion. I think it's a relationship with the Father, but the world classifies it as a religion. So if you lined up all the religions in the world, Buddhism, Hinduism, all the other isms, and then Christianity, why should they choose Christianity? Or what would make them choose? Now you might think, well, it's because it's the truth, and you would be right in that. It is the truth. But all these other religions say they're the truth too. And if you've ever talked to someone who thinks they know the truth, you know you can argue till the cows come home and you'll never change their mind. So what? It can't quite be the truth because they haven't figured out what the truth is yet. But I say there is something about Christianity that will make them choose it, and that is the power. Yeah. The power of God. You cannot argue with power. You can argue with truth all you want, but when you see the power, you can't deny it. Even an atheist who has no belief in God at all, when they see the power, they have to say, yep, that's the power of God right there. So my message today is called How to See the Power of God. And actually, you could sum up every story in the Bible, from Old Testament and New Testament, basically sum it up like this. God speaking to someone saying, you go there and show my power. Isn't that true? If you read it all there, does God ever say, you go there and have a nice conversation with them? Explain it as best you can, and hopefully they'll choose it. He's like, no, go show my power. God is powerful. The early church did that all the time. Everywhere they went, it was the first place the gospel had ever been preached, and every time the power of God followed. Oh, Dustin is holding up notes. If you don't have a note-taking device, raise your hand and the ushers will give you one. Thank you, Dustin. Dustin's an awesome usher. High five, give a hand to usher. All right, so let me tell you what. I've seen the power of God many times in my life, and I'm still a young man. I'll be 30 at the end of this month, by the way, but, you know, still a young man. I've seen the power of God many times. The last two times I preached up here, I told you a couple miracles I've seen. It would take me all day to say all of the miracles of God I've seen, but a couple highlights. I've seen healings. I've been healed before. I've seen people in this church cured of medically incurable diseases like cancer. We've seen that before. I've had prophecies given to me. I've given prophecies. I've had prophetic dreams. I've seen miracles. I've seen demons. I've seen angels. I've seen people with limbs too short get prayed over and they grow out right in front of my eyes. A couple times I've seen that. I've been slain in the spirit, you know, when they pray over you and you fall down like on the TV. I've had that happen. Actually, one time I had it so hard my feet came off the ground. It was pretty awesome. At least I thought it was awesome. And let me tell you, I've seen so many acts of the power of God. But why am I telling you this? Is it because I'm so awesome and I want you guys to be as awesome as me? No, that's not it. Anyone who's ever lived with me knows that's not true, or talked to me for more than 2 minutes. No, I'm not perfect. Actually, there's a lot of people in this room who've seen far more acts of the power of God than I am. Well, I'm saying it because that's normal Christianity. The power of God is a normal thing in Christianity. So like I said, there's people in this room seeing way more acts of the power of God. There's people younger than me who weren't raised in a Christian home who've seen more acts of the power of God than I have. So I want to convince you that I'm normal. I'm the most normally normal guy you've ever met. So, and you guys are normal, and you can see the power of God too. Who wants to see the power of God in their life? Amen? Who wants to learn how? Well, it's a good thing you came to church today, because I'm going to teach you how. I'm going to give you three steps to seeing the power of God in your life. So, first of all, lay a base. You can't actually make the power of God happen, right? Because it's not your power. It's God's power. When God moves, he moves. But there are things you can do in your life that'll make the power of God a more common occurrence in your life. Now, he can move at any time, but when you do these things, it'll be more common. So let's start with step number one and your first fill in the blank. Master the basics. Master the basics. So what are the basics? You want to put that next slide up there? Four things: prayer, reading the Bible, going to church, and tithing. These are the first things you should always be working on. So now if you're praying to God, God, what's your ultimate calling for my life? Where are you going to send me? Do you have some ministry for me? If you're praying for all of that, but you don't yet have these four things down, stop, don't pass go, don't collect $200. Master the basics first, and then God will send you on this awesome thing. But you got to have that solid foundation first. So when you do these things, you got to do this first before you start seeing the power of God. Now, of course, God can move at any time, like I said, but you'll see it more often with these. Now, maybe you're looking at these and you're like, Michael, I can see prayer, I can see reading the Bible and going to church. But what does tithing have to do with seeing the power of God? That has got a lot to do with seeing the power of God. If you go to me with this scripture, Malachi 3:10, it says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. What's the storehouse? That's the church. That there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord. This is one of the only times God asks you to test him. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing, there will not be room enough to receive it. And what is blessing? Is that just financial? Nope, that's everything. That's the power of God. That's miracles. So when you're tithing, that opens a door. You'll start seeing the power of God way stronger when you do that. If you're financially hurting and you're scared to give, you need to be given even more because you really need God's blessing on you. I've had to do that before in my life. Oh, man, I don't have much money. I better tithe more. You know, you have that thought in your head, that thought process. So master the basics. That's step one. Step number two in your second fill in the blank is a big one. Open good doors, close bad doors. Open good doors, close bad doors. What does that mean? Well, if you could see in the spirit world, this would make a lot more sense to you. We have physical eyes, right? We see physical things. We can't quite see in the spiritual world where God is and angels and demons and all that. But actually, the spirit world is more real than the physical world because eventually this world's going to pass away, but the spirit world will still be there when it's gone. So the Bible likens things in the spirit world to help us understand it. It likens it to doors and windows. We just read a scripture about God opening the windows of heaven and pouring out blessing, right? Well, that's not just the Bible being fancy and poetic. That's an actual thing. That tithing is opening a door for blessing to God, for God to put on you. And check out this verse, Isaiah 22:22. This is one of my dad's favorite verses. It says, I will place on his shoulder the key to the house of David. And in the New Testament, that's the church. What he opens, no one can shut. And what he shuts, no one can open. So doors and windows. And looking at that, don't you see there are some doors we want to be open, right? And there are some doors we want to be shut. So if you have sin in your life, sinful things from the past, common sins, that opens doors to the devil to attack and destroy in your life. And at the same time, that closes doors to God. We don't want that in our life, do we? Now, on the flip side, if you follow God's word and you get freedom and healing from those sinful things, what does that do? Opens doors to God and closes doors to the devil. And follow my logic here. If you want the power of God working strong in your life, wouldn't it make sense to have as many doors as possible closed to the devil and as many doors as possible open to God? Wouldn't that make sense? Now, maybe you're thinking, Michael, aren't we set free when we become Christians? Well, your spirit's set free. Nothing happened to your mind and nothing happened to your body. Human beings, we talk about this a lot, are three in one, just like God is three in one. You know, God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three different things but one. Human beings are spirit, that's the eternal part of you, that's the part that goes to heaven when you pass away, or hell, whichever one. And then there's your soul, which is your mind, your will, and emotions, that's the thinking part of you. And then your body, the physical part. So when you get saved, your spirit is set free, but there still can be sin indwelling in your mind and in your body. Your mind would be a door, and your body can be a door. In the spirit world, if you looked at it, it'd be doors and doors. So that's why the Bible warns so heavily against having sin in your life. True, God can forgive your sins, but that's doors in your life. In particular, it really warns against the sexual sin, because that affects both your mind and your body at once. So that's really powerful. You really don't want that in your life. Now, backtrack a little bit. I'm being a little heavy here. Don't worry, I'll lighten up. At Victory Church, we always try to say, we try to be the most loving and accepting congregation that we can be, right? Because that's how God treats us. So if you heard me say all that and you're like, oh no, I got sin, I got open doors, is God mad at me? No. God's a loving God. God's a forgiving God. God is a peaceful God. He's not mad at you for that. And if God is that loving and peaceful and forgiving to us, shouldn't we be that to each other? Right? So there's no judgment. No one's perfect. Everyone has sin in their life. Everyone is dealing with things. And that's, I bring you back to step number one, the basics. That's why we have church. There are people in this church who are strong in areas that you are weak, and you are strong in areas that they are weak in. That's why you gotta have the basics. We work on each other. We build on each other. We don't have to worry about people judging us. You're not gonna be walking around town and turn around and Pastor Bill's hiding in the bushes, making sure that's not gonna happen. That's because Miss Rebecca is gonna be hiding in the bushes. She's going to be like, oh, I'm going to tell Bill, you know. Actually, I would think that was hilarious if she was following around. But no, that's not gonna happen. We love each other here. But if you want to take that step and you want to see more power of God, we here at Victory Church have ways for you to do that. Small groups are a big one. And one in particular I want to give a plug to is the Freedom Small Group. That's what this is about. I can't possibly give a message up here that explains all that in one message. You got to go to the small group for that. But that's about dealing with the sins of your past and your present to protect your future, to secure your future. And my parents lead that. They do an awesome job. So, yeah, high five, you know, clap for my parents. They do a great job. They've been doing this a while, so they know what they're doing. And so I highly recommend that. And who should be in a Freedom small group? This. All of it. All of this, even me. Think of it, you got to go through, it's not a one-time thing. You know, it's like taking a shower. Do you take one shower in your life? I hope not. You'd be really dirty if you do that. I've been through Freedom before, but I probably need to do it again soon. I've been out in that dirty world, that dirty, sinful world, been messing with me. So you got to get cleaned out every once in a while. So that's step number two, closing bad doors and opening good doors. So step number three. This is the most powerful one. Now, up to this point, I've mostly been talking about defensive measures. This is an offensive measure for seeing the power of God. And the cool thing about this one is you don't have to wait till you've mastered step one and step two to do this one. You can do this at any point in your life. And I submit to you, remember I told you can't make the power of God happen? If you do this enough, I promise you, you will see the power of God. It might happen fast, might happen a little slower, but you will see it. Are you ready to hear what it is? Step three, share your faith. Share your faith. If you read the book of Acts, I was talking about that, and that's what we want to see in our life, right? The miracles and the power of the book of Acts. What are they doing 95% of the time you see a miracle happen? They are preaching the gospel. They are sharing their faith. They're not just hanging around. The other 5%, maybe they're getting healed of a sickness, but really that's God doing that so they can go out and share their faith. And this hit me when I was preparing for this message. I thought about it, and I'm like, yeah, about 95% of miracles I've ever seen has been when I was sharing my faith, or I was around somebody else who was sharing their faith. And I can prove this to you with scripture. Go with me to Mark 16, verses 17 through 18. This is the Great Commission, Jesus' last words before going to heaven. Important stuff, right? And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it won't hurt them. By the way, don't go doing that. That's a defensive measure. It's not saying go out and grab crazy stuff. It will not hurt them. They will place their hands on the sick people, and they will get well. They will see them recover. That's the power of God we're talking about, right? Isn't that awesome? Isn't that great? But jump back to scriptures. What starts all this? Go back to verse 15. Jesus' first words for the Great Commission. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. And if you study the book of Acts, that's how every miracle starts. They go. They preach. They invite. Now, if you were like me when I was growing up, if I was in there growing up and I just said that to young me, my heart would have dropped. Because I told you I had social phobias growing up. That was terrifying to me. So if I was that and I heard that, I'm saying, I'd be like, Michael, do you have a different way we can see the power of God? Maybe climb a mountain and get like a shawl put on me, then power shoots out of me or something. That would probably be easier, right? No, that's not how it works. But I'm going to submit to you that it's fun. You're like, Michael, we have very different definitions of fun. No, it's fun, and I'm going to prove it to you. I'm going to prove it to you with a video. A video I made a couple years ago. Remember a couple years ago where everyone was playing that game Pokemon Go, where they were walking around with their phones and Pokemon were showing up and they were tripping over things and stuff. They were going around catching Pokemon. They were throwing what they call Pokeballs and it would catch the Pokemon on their screen. And they'd go to a Pokemon Center and get Pokeballs. Well, I made a parody video of that where I called it Churchamon Go, where people are going around with the app on their phone bringing people to church. And it's every bit as ridiculous as it sounds, and it's funny. And I'm going to let you guys watch it. You guys want to watch that? You'll see some familiar faces up here, too, in the video. So go ahead and play Church Among You.
There's a Pikachu in here!
Dude! Where?
Over there.
Sweet!
Have you guys heard of Churchamon Go? It's the new app that lets you see people in real life and take them to church. Here's how it works.
You go to your local church stop and get loaded up on Churchaballs.
You're gonna only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. For you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High.
Then you pull up your app and it shows you where the people are and you can invite them to church. Hey, dude, you want to come to church?
No, bro, not my scene.
You should try new things.
I don't have a car.
All right, I'll drive you.
Oh, it's a dream!
Now, sometimes you might look a little weird while you're doing it, but that's okay.
You just roll up on him and hold
him
up.
Just hold him up.
That's a good Grand Theft Auto mod right there.
Oh. What are you doing?
I'm gonna catch you and bring you to church.
You're weird.
If you need help getting people to church, you can use a church allure. You place it anywhere and it attracts people to it.
We have free donuts.
You know, I came for the donuts, but I stayed for the Jesus.
Now they may say no sometimes, but it's okay. Remember, one church of ball plants, one church of ball waters, and one church of ball reaps.
Hey, wanna come to church?
Okay, talk to you later.
Wanna go to church with me?
Oh, God. Why would confusion make me hit myself? I don't understand.
Wanna come to church?
Okay.
Welcome to church!
Yay!
Go is two-thirds of God. So go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations. And remember, trainers, you gotta catch them all. You like that? We had a lot of fun making that. My favorite line was, I came for the donuts, but I stayed for the Jesus. I knew when I was writing that Edmund had to be the one to say that line. Did it perfectly. So it can be fun sharing your faith. A lot of people, when they think about evangelism, they think about like street evangelism, right? Where you're out there, you against the world, and you know it's all on you. But really, as Pastor Bill said, inviting people to church is one of the best ways. It may be thinking, well, I can't preach to someone. Well, Pastor Bill knows how to do it. Bring him to church and let him preach to him. And we do evangelism events and stuff at church all the time. That's happened plenty of times. But as he said, the most effective way people come to church is a personal invitation. So, now I want to tell you, I like stories. You know I like stories. I've been telling you the power of God happens when you go out and preach the gospel. So here's one of my favorite stories is I went with my dad. He's an awesome evangelist. He brought me to go out and preach the gospel to some people. We were at a sporting event or something. And we saw three boys sitting there talking to each other. And so my dad said, Marco, we're gonna go speak to those boys. I'm like, all right. You know, I was pretty young, so of course I'm scared. But I'm going with my dad. And we're walking up to them. And as we walk up to him, we see a man stand up and walk away from him. He was just talking to them. And we walk up, and my dad comes up to him and says, boys, I got a question for you. If you were to die tonight, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? Their eyes were like dinner plates. They were struck, they were shocked, and they said, do you know that man who was just talking to us? And we're like, no, we don't know who that guy is. He said, he just walked up and said exactly what you just said to us. He sat down and said, boys, if you were to die tonight, you know for sure you'd go to heaven. The power of God did that. That's not a coincidence. Have you ever had someone walk up to you and just say that before? Having two people in a row is the power of God working. Let me tell you, all three of those boys gave their heart to the Lord right there on the spot. Seeing the power of God work, that unleashes it. And remember I told you how I was scared to share my faith? Well, that all stopped the first time I shared my faith with a little boy. And I was basically a boy at the time, too. I was still a teenager. But I was terrified, just like I told you. But you ever heard, do it afraid? Yeah, you're going to be scared. Just do it afraid anyway. I walked up to that little boy, and I shared my faith with him. And he prayed to receive Jesus with me. And the look in his eyes, he lit up, and that look on his face. When I saw that, whatever fear was there at that point was gone because I was so excited about it. So taking you back to step two, I had a door of fear in my life. When I prayed with that boy, that door of fear was closed to me and a door of courage was open to me. That's the important thing. You just got to do it. You're going to be scared until you do it. The devil's going to tell you you're going to look silly. You're going to mess up what you say, and you probably will, but you're going to do it anyway. You're going to walk up and be like, Jesus, he's good, you should have him by, you know, and then you're going to be like, ha, take that, devil. He's like, you didn't say anything, but I did it. I did it. You said I couldn't do it, but I did it. Then you're going to do it again, and this time you're going to use actual sentences, and then you're going to do it again, and then the power of God's going to start working, and people are going to start getting saved, and then you're not going to be able to get enough of it. These things build on each other. It becomes fun to you. It becomes fun for me. It's not scary, not at all. Now, you might also be saying, even though that was a pretty silly video, wasn't it? But there were some good principles in there. Remember, there's some people, if you just do something for them, they'll come to church with you. You might be like, I can't preach. I don't know how to do that. Well, you know how to do something, don't you? God gave you some skills. I'm not above bribing people to come to church, by the way. If some people have asked me before, Michael, can you come over and can you do this thing for me? I'll pay you. I'll be like, you know what? I'll do you one better. I'll do it for free if you come to church with me. And they'll come. They do that. Get creative with it. Get smart with it. Get fun with it. And even though you might not pray with them, if you bring someone and Pastor Bill gives the altar call and they raise their hand, you'll just be just like me with that little boy. You'll be so excited about it and be like, who's next? You know, who's next? Who can I get next? And guys, I'm preaching to myself too right now. You know, I'm not perfect at this. I'm not awesome. I'm trying to improve on it too. So I'm making a decision too with you guys to be better about sharing my faith. And out at the pavilion, the college group that I lead, all the college students have been telling me, like, Michael, we need to evangelize more. We need to do more stuff. So we've got some plans, you know. We are planning to have event-based evangelism where we do a really fun event out at the pavilion on a Friday night. This next one, plug, is going to be a free laser tag event. Ooh, won't that be fun? We already got the guns. Can you imagine people playing laser tag out there on that land? I'm going to bring some of my Ninja Warrior equipment that I'm not using for so they can hide behind it. You know, we'll have the lights on them and stuff. It's going to be fun. So, you college students, we've been on break for 2 weeks for what do they call that? Spring break. Sorry, I've been out of college for a while. Spring break. So I hope you're all rested up, because when you get back, we're going to go hardcore into getting more people out there. It's been fun with just us, but we can't hog that all to ourselves. We need more people out there. So we're going to have a bunch of flyers. One flyer is going to say, you want to come to a free laser tag event? What? Yes. Who's going to say no to that? Why is it free? It's to promote. We have another flyer. It's to promote our college ministry that meets in the same place. So that's exciting, isn't it? And by the way, I might need some help with that. You know, it won't be too bad. But so if you want to help me with that, talk to me afterwards. Even if you're a little above the college age, it's fine. We'll let you in. You get to see what we're doing out there. It'll be a lot of fun. So this is important, guys. I want you to get this. When you start focusing on others, that's when you start seeing miracles in your life. Because God never gives you something for you. God gives you something for somebody else. Because that's the heart of God. The heart of God is broken for those who are hurting and those who are lost. And a miracle is simply God giving you something and saying, give this to my lost children because I want them back in my life and back in my arms. I want them right here. So we here as Christians, we still face hardships, right? We still have hurts, but we have the Holy Spirit in us. Can you imagine not having the Holy Spirit in you and facing those things? And you probably don't have to imagine. A lot of you used to be there. Or all of us used to be there at some point. So you get that passion in your heart. It's a joy and a passion for preaching the gospel and seeing these miracles come to place. And also, if you want to see miracles, you know, you got to share your faith. What is the big miracle we here at Victory Church are praying for right now? We want to see our building in Victory Church in Gainesville, don't we? So if we want to see that happen, we need to be sharing our faith like never before. We need to be inviting people to church like never before. Pastor Bill last week gave an awesome message and a testimony to Billy Graham. And if you remember, he read that prophecy that the passing of Billy Graham will open up a new generation of young men and women, and God's about to do powerful things. And if you guys have been praying, I've been talking to a lot of people, you feel something big is about to happen in Gainesville, don't you? So God in his master plan is looking at Gainesville right now, and he's got all these buildings. He's like, who am I going to put in these buildings? Who am I going to be here to usher in the power of God? We want him to look at Victory Church and be like, I got to have them there. I got to have them in Gainesville. They've been doing so good out there in Micanopy. Even though I called them to Gainesville, they've been doing good with the building I've got for them out there. They've been sharing the word. They've been bringing people to church. They've been closing the doors to the devil. They've been opening the doors to God. They're getting the basics down. These are my best guys. I need them in Victory Church. I need Victory Church in Gainesville. Doesn't that make sense? Don't you guys want to see that?
Yeah.
Well, are you going to do it with me? You're gonna help me? We're gonna get out there. Did you guys get anything out of this message today? Amen, guys. Well, I tell you, I love being up here and speaking to you guys and speaking the message that God gives me and being able to give it to you. It's just an awesome feeling, and I love every second of it. And I want to pray right now. Father God, every head bowed, every eye goes. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your power, God. We thank you that you want to see people come to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and you count us worthy of picking up that cross, picking up that mantle, picking up Billy Graham's mantle, as Pastor Bill said. You feel us worthy of taking that, Lord. So we humbly give you all the glory and the praise and ask us to use us in that mission that you have, Lord Jesus. And right now, I got a question for you guys. It's a question we always like to ask everyone. The same question my dad asked those three boys. If you were to die tonight, do you know for sure that you would go to heaven? You might hear that and say, well, I think so, I hope so, I'm not really sure. How can anyone know for sure? Well, the Bible says you can know for sure. It writes, I write these things to you, little children, that you may know that you have eternal life. Somebody asked Jesus that question, and he said, you must be born again. What does that mean? That means there comes a time in your life where you ask Jesus to come and live in your heart, and he forgives you of your sins. So in a second, if you've never done that before, maybe you were invited to church today like I've been asking, you've never done that before, I'm going to give you an opportunity to raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. Everyone's eyes are going to be closed. Not going to embarrass you. All I'm going to ask you to do is raise your hand, and then we'll all pray the prayer with you. But maybe you're here today, and you've done that before in the past, and you know right now you're not where God wants you to be. You know you've got some open doors to the devil in your life, like I've been talking about, and you want to close those doors. Well, I'm going to ask you the same question and give you a chance to make a declaration of faith right now from this day forward that God is number one in my life. If either of those two questions apply to you right now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, go ahead and raise your hand, throw them up high so I can see them. Thank you. Thank you. Don't let the devil get you afraid. Don't be afraid. Close that door to fear. Open that door to courage. God has awesome things for you. Anybody else? Couple more seconds. All right. Let's pray this prayer with them. Everybody help them. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I am a sinner, and I need a Savior. I cannot save myself. Jesus, right now, I believe that you are the Son of God, and that you died on the cross for my sins, and God raised you from the dead. I ask you to forgive my sins. Come live in my heart. Make me into the person you want me to be. Be my Lord and Savior. Right now, I declare I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Give the Lord praise. People just prayed that prayer and got born again.